Soaking.
Now I'm recording.
That was loud. Don't base the volume on that. I put it right from
there. Soaking. Soaking.
We need music.
Oh, I got you.
Hi everyone, welcome to WTF at TFW live from TFCon LA. We're putting this together pro-like. We're in our studio space. It's Sunday, we ate food, we went to a convention. I'm Chris, I'm Vangelis, I'm on the set. I'm joined by Aaron.
Hi guys.
Aaron, you're sitting across from me on a different bed.
Yes.
But you're sharing that bed. Because for the first time in 15 years, I love saying it because I don't get to say it anymore after this.
Yeah.
We've got TJ here with us in the flesh, the human, the meat.
The meet, yes, the first time I've gotten to do, like, the live, everyone here.
Yeah, I feel so bad because, like, I have no check luggage. I didn't bring all the handhelds or anything. We're doing it normal style. I'm going to just quickly check to make sure this is actually catching everything happily. I think it is. You guys just, Aaron, how are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling all right. I feel better than I did yesterday, slowly recovering from 3 days at Disney before doing a bunch of walking around at a different convention.
And TJ, how are you feeling just right now?
I'm feeling pretty good. Like the fatigue is starting to set in. My ankles hate me, but you know, I'll make it home into my bed. That's the important part.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about it like on Saturday. I was like, dang, I haven't caught Aaron and TJ that much, but they seem so exhausted all the time, and I keep forgetting like they spent a week at Disney.
No,
ish.
I spent a week at Disney. He spent a day.
Spent a day at Disney, but I also went around the biggest toy store in the country and Little Tokyo.
Yeah, y'all just did all this extracurricular stuff and got obliterated, but it was a good time, it sounded like.
Yeah, very good time.
I haven't felt exhausted or anything.
Yeah,
Well, then you ain't doing it right. That or I was doing it very wrong.
No, it's just I'm wired for conventions for some reason.
We're also joined by our live tech, an army of bees, who's operating the soundboard.
And suddenly looks very scared.
Hi, I am here, in the flesh, the meat space.
Yeah.
Hi.
The current active regular version of the post-pandemic, even though it's not really post, TFW 2005 podcast, have actually assembled in one room. I was thinking about this a lot leading up to the show.
Yeah.
I was like, this is wild because we actually never accomplished that, I believe. I don't think we ever had both teams in the meet in the same place all at once.
You got close in Orlando.
Super close.
Yeah, Orlando was very close.
Who was missing in Orlando?
Was Lupus or Drew there?
I want to say Drew was there.
I think Drew was there, but I don't...
I think it was Lupus was not.
Yeah. We were so close. But yeah, I remember we didn't quite pull it off.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, granted, maybe we cheated by just waiting through several years and, you know, global catastrophes whittling everything down.
Yeah.
But we accomplished the important thing, which is getting into one room and recording a podcast. So we were at TFCon LA 2025. I gotta get my phone out so I can keep an eye on the time, because I promised I wanted to maintain what we learned, which is keep this under an hour. I had a pretty good time at the show. I was sort of all over the place. I was in my own room because that's what my brain has done to me now. You all were rooming together.
Yeah.
So I was curious, like, how was outside of the extracurriculars, not to, like, skip past them. They obviously are important. But how was your experience over the TFCon weekend itself?
It was good. I've been out this way less, but there were still a lot of faces that were recognizable. Like, I know that face from a convention. Was it LA? Are they a Torontoite?
Torontonian? Yeah.
Those sort of things.
All having our arms crossed.
Right, it's defensive posture.
Okay. Chris
is very aggressive, so we're keeping ourselves small.
It's that gun I have pointed at everybody.
But no, very good. Kind of feel like they need to, you know, convention space wise, need to adjust maybe a few things around, because there were quite a few, like, individual tables or voice actors causing clogs that far surpassed that. And I don't know if maybe that's just West Coast feels like it's maybe less served by large conventions, so a whole lot more people show up than places that have it more regular or have more opportunities throughout a year.
Yeah,
don't know if there's some weight there.
We are definitely like cresting the capacity of this venue and have been since last year. Last year was notable. Because 2023, not like it was like so empty, but it was a pretty chill show. Last year, it was kind of like, whoa, okay. And then this year, the dealer room specifically was like a new whoa.
Yeah.
So I remember last year I was able to go to the dealer room, you know, around after 11, I could kind of wander around at my leisure. I went there at like 10:30. And I was trying to just... I wanted to do one round.
Well, it was assholes and elbows. Like, you were packed in like sardines.
Yeah, it was less shoulder-to-shoulder because the David Kaye line had run its course. But that just meant more people flooded in. And then I realized at one point, like, wait a second. Did I miss a window? I look, it's 12:20. I'm like, oh, no, wait. The generals are coming in now. How do I get out? And then I just sort of gave up a little bit. I was just gliding from person to person. Me and Sideswipe Prime were kind of like, at one point, like, we should go get lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took us a while to kind of maneuver out because we kept kind of spotting things like, oh, we should just check. Since we're already trapped in here, let's go check this, check that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of wild. I mean, TJ, this is your first Western TFCon?
Yeah.
I guess the way to put it.
yeah, put barbecue sauce on everything and big onion rings.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm wearing the Spurs. That was a weird choice.
Well, you know, we might have misled you a bit with the marketing. And I mean, like, you know, and then Jim Sorensen had that talk with you about the hat. He's like, what do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
but no, did you have a pretty good time out here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, like, I was told already, like, if you want to experience real TFCon, you got to come out to L.A. You know, those Proto Man, like, conning me into it 2 years ago. but no, it was fantastic.
Was that Proto Man's pitch? If you want the real TFCon convention, go to Toronto! If you want the Proto... Goddamn Quebecois. Anyway.
Because I was having a talk with him, told him, like, okay, I was always heard that TFCon is, like, such a social convention.
Yeah.
You know, and I told him, like, yeah, I wouldn't mind coming up to the Toronto one. And he goes, like, well, if you really want to, like, just meet a whole bunch of people, go to the LA, because that's where all the big guests are. They pull numbers in and all that.
Yeah, so, yeah. No, that's true. I like taking a moment to scream at Daniel when he's not here. It's just a natural state. Yeah, natural state. But yeah, like, L.A. personally, also because I don't really get much out of signatures, I decided, especially after last year, like, I will just, if it's natural, I'll approach a guest table, but I'm just going to let it go. I kind of wanted to go talk to I keep saying Zed Infante, because I'm from Canada. Is it Z?
Z.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Z Infante. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I spotted their table at one point, but I didn't have anything on me, and there was, like, three people there. I was like, oh, I kind of want to go say hi to them, but I'll just circle back around.
Yeah.
And then that was a mistake. The human tides carried me all over the place. I went on a grand journey.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, I kind of went, like, for my own sanity almost, I'm like, I'll just leave the guest thing alone outside of, like, chatter. But you were actually doing, like, the Welker thing.
Yeah.
And I heard that ran okay.
From what I experienced, yeah. Mm. So they did it two ways, because they didn't want to have to get Frank up and down out of his seat. So, like, here's a line. If you want photographs, we go through there, so we can just put them in one spot. And then here's, you know, over to the autograph table, and we'll handle everyone who wants a signature. You know, so they kept it smooth that way. And then I don't think I was in the line more than, like, half an hour at the most, and it was a pretty dense line.
That's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. They kept everybody moving pretty quick, and, you know, like, the interactions were kept pretty short.
Mm-hmm.
You get that on a big name guest, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's great to hear. Because one of my little concerns going in was because you were doing the Welker thing. I was like, oh, I hope TJ doesn't get, like, stuck in, like, I don't know, some kind of traffic jam.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I expect them to happen, but when you have a Welker, that's like a
potential. You just end up in line hell because this is the 3-hour, you know.
Well, keep in mind, I'm from Florida, who has Disney World. I'm used to line hell. Our society is based on line hell.
Yeah, and then, like, and Aaron, you know, like, spending a couple days at Disney, it's like you were, like, prepping yourself.
Oh, no, we had the pro. We had Mirai Baby.
Yeah.
As the, like, she used to have the SoCal Disney ticket where it was just like, I don't know, it's 4:00 on a Thursday, let's go to Disney.
Yeah.
And had us very on point with all the lightning lanes and fast passes and all of that stuff to get through things. She was a pro, and she was like, man, I wish it hadn't rained on us that one day, because then we could have gotten in, like, 7 more rides. And even the day that we called it early because of rain, she was like, I'm just going to stay in the rain and ride Pirates 5 times in a row. and then she did.
Did you do any autography stuff with guests? I can't remember.
I didn't do any autography stuff. Alfie got 5 or 6 autographs, including the Cyberverse Jazz voice actor, whose name draws a blank right now.
There are like 400 guests, so I'm having trouble remembering the guests whose names I do know.
But she popped his toy signing. Cherry was the first.
Yeah.
The first toy that he'd signed. He'd signed some art, a bunch of artwork, and he said one or two cards. But she was. He was the first one. There. That one was the first toy. But she has a little bit more interest in that and the kind of oddities of ephemera side of things. Yeah. I like seeing them, and if I'm nearby, I'm like, hey, I liked what you did. Finger guns. And then that's it, because, I don't know, signatures don't quite excite me the same way, because it's, I don't know.
I do like having this little thing that says, oh, hey, I met this person who meant something to me.
Yeah.
Created something I genuinely enjoyed.
I get it. It's just not a thing that's necessarily a trigger for me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think part of it is like the whole, like, to use my phrase, it's me and Aaron having been at conventions since the turn of the century related to Transformers. It like, doesn't grind it out. It just means like you get that satisfaction.
I mean, I have, you know, old stuff that was signed in some of those early conventions. And now it's like, meh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that I get. Like, yeah, for me being the first time here in L.A., here's all these big guests. Like, when the guest list is so loaded, I have to cut Jim Cummings from my autograph list.
Yeah, that's like, right.
Let's just cut one of the best...
his name, but...
Oh, Eric. Arif.
Arif S. Kinchin.
There we go.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know. On the toy, it's squiggle, 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 so...
I signed a knockoff pipes, so I signed on the cylinder on the arm.
You got the green one?
Yeah.
I also signed that.
I wrapped my name around the pipe, so it's like diagonally going down.
Nice.
It looks horrific.
Someone asked me today to sign a titanium Megatron.
Where would you? I mean, the stand, maybe?
No. So they bought it sealed in the dealer room.
Oh, and the
then,
box.
And then searched me out.
And
to
wanted
make
you
me
to
sign.
Defile it.
Yes.
I mean, anything you do to it. We're seeing a photo here. Anything you do to it will make it better. Inherently, like it's such a sad poor little boy in that box. Like, you gotta, anything you can do, you know, you'll elevate him. I didn't really do any guesty stuff. I did get the Toymaker animated comic signed.
Yes,
yeah.
Partly because I grabbed a second one for someone who was requesting the signatures. I think if I was on my own, since I was already there, I might have done it anyway. Because also I like the three folks who were involved.
Yeah.
I had a pizza dinner with them and some other folks last night, so it was very funny to walk up to them and go like, "Hey, you guys like pizza?"
Sure, you did.
I got proof. I just didn't show it to anybody.
Okay.
So just to quickly cover it, because we all did a little bit of paneling. I don't want to go like into a super debrief, but Friday opening of the show, DJ, I pulled you onto my collector de-stress panel.
Yeah,
how'd you feel about it? I felt pretty good about it, given that we were starting when registration opened.
Mm-hmm.
I had a plan, you know, vamp a lot. But how are you feeling about it?
I mean, I felt pretty good. Like it is, it's a solid topic to discuss, and I think it's a great way of like cooling everybody off, because the weekend can be like super exciting, especially once you get into the dealer room and it's sensory overload.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like that's a really good, like, hey, before we go nuts, let's evaluate and talk about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice if it wasn't at like the start of the con and we were still waiting for people to get out of the registration line.
Yeah,
but it's not a bad idea to start a convention with that.
Oh, yeah, and I was relieved a little bit and happy that, like, about halfway through our panel, it was rapidly filling in the front half of the room.
Yeah,
because I was like, okay, good, they are showing up. Mm-hmm. But, no, I still had fun doing that one.
A lot of participation, too.
Yeah, I told everyone this is a conversational panel, like the ones who were there, but also people were invested and interested. Yeah. I only had to kill time once. Usually I have to do it twice when the Q&A starts, so I kind of had to... My how to beat people over the head with a sock full of stuff to steal their money bit went a lot longer than I thought it had to both times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it was a good bit of exercise for my brain. That was a lot of fun. And part of the reason why I really wanted to pull you on that is because I was also doing one with Aaron. So it's like, mm-hmm, I got to do a panel with each of my podcast pals.
But not at the same time.
No, there was no way to swing that. I was thinking about, like, how can we convince the world Aaron's a YouTuber?
I did have live Lego build stuff there for a while.
Here in shot reviewer.
$1,500 an extra. That's actually something I managed to not flog. I brought dice for it, but
I flogged it during one of my panels. Was it the Friday one? Yeah, I pointed at
it. Yeah,
it was the Friday.
Yeah. I tried to flog it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Aaron, we also did a news history panel. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't want to go like full debrief, but how'd you feel about it?
Felt good. We got interaction definitely at the points that we thought we were interaction. That was pretty punk.
Mm-hmm. Introducing punk to panels.
Went well. Kind of felt like we could have gotten a few more questions in, but we also kind of rolled long as we were talking about the whole dive through everything, so... Mm.
I kind of intentionally let us ramble a little bit, because I was like, I genuinely don't know how many questions we'll get, and I figured, like, let's throw in one or two more anecdotes, and...
Yeah. But they seemed a lot more solidly engaged than the, like, 30 to 60 people, I think, that is generally our band of people watching the live stream would be. So it's like, either they were all here, or you're doing all right in your people watching it on the VOD.
Yay, I hope so. And then literally right afterwards, this is great. Hypothetically, I love this, where I'm hooked in, and I don't have to hook out, so someone else has to run in and hook in, which would hypothetically be me running in to hook in.
Yeah.
I just stayed hooked in, kept my chair, because then we rolled into the YouTuber panel.
Yeah.
So that one went, I thought, swimmingly. I'll check in with everybody afterwards as I try to. I don't know. I don't say that publicly that often, but I do like to like get a little bit of a vibe from everybody afterwards, see if we all felt okay. Because, you know, our first group panel, we had a major incident. Mm-hmm. And then our second one, we had unforeseen levels of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
So, TJ, this was your first time being on one that had me running the laptop.
Yeah.
But also, it was your first... Well, not your first, it was your second. Well, how do I put it?
Okay, so technically this is the first official time that I've been on the panel. My name was actually on the schedule. I was on panel for TFCon Orlando because someone said... Someone in the crowd asked the panel, what's the worst Transformer you've ever played with? And having that be my curse for all eternity, the panel just pointed me at the front row and just go, get up here. So, like, yeah, I'm there for, like, the last 15 minutes.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so for your first one where you're up there at the very beginning and had someone point and say, like, look, that's who this is. This is TJ.
Yeah.
how did you feel about how it went?
I mean, great experience for me. You know, because, like, I mean, having a crowd there to react to what I'm saying and, like, oh, TJ Omega, yay! Like, oh, cool! That's neat! I like that. So, yeah, it's a great experience. Like my brain, as we're going through the questions, like, please let me have good answers. Please don't let me blank. But, no, like, questions were good. Like, a lot of the things I was hoping I'd get to share, I got to share. So, like, yeah, I think it went pretty well.
Yeah, I wish we could have more time on the YouTuber one, but I wish we could have more time on all of them.
Yeah.
It's a 50-55 minute schedule. It's hard to say one should have more time than the other.
Mm. It's almost something that feels like it'd be nice if they had a couple of panel rooms.
Yeah.
I agree.
So that, like, when you're writing up a panel request, you can say, hey, I think this would be a 30-minute panel, or this would be an hour-long panel, and then... You can go from there and try and figure out spacings for things and have, hey, this is the fan stuff, and then this is all of the Q&As go in this one.
Yeah, and if there's like a need for like two YouTube panels, like, okay, come see, if you can't make it Saturday, come Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, I know it's a slippery slope that's hard for the TFCon staff to determine as a whole, because, like, how do you necessarily have a thumb on the pulse of Transformers YouTube?
Yeah.
But when there are enough people who are showing interest in wanting to do a thing like that, if they can at least demonstrate that they are, you know, able to bring fruitful discussion,
mm-hmm.
it would be nice if it felt like there was room for more of that. Because, as I've said, you know, publicly now, like, this YouTube panel, it's a thing that a couple of us submitted as a group of friends, and so we just submit it every year, but it also, at least over here, tends to be presented as like, oh, this is where all the YouTubers go. And it's like, yeah, but also if we have like 12 people on the panel in a 50-minute panel slot, like, then at least we need name tags.
Yeah.
Otherwise we're just gonna be going in and it'll be a wall of noise and chaos and then we'll all leave.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt really good about it. I think it's the best LA one we've had so far. The fruits born of labors burdened and weathered.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, did either of you hit up any other panels that you really had a time with?
I didn't. I dodged out of a few of them. I was hoping to get into a couple of panels as I was walking by, but because of their line limitation things, one or two of the...
Was that on all the panels?
One or two... So, I wanted to duck in a little bit early to the Aaron Archer panel and just, like, see what his panel was going to be, because he's got five or six different versions of his panel. And, like, they were like, no, there's a line here for no obvious reason. You have to go to the back of the line. And I was like, No, I don't. I can just go elsewhere now. Cool, thanks. So I don't know if that was just like an overzealous line guard or if that was something else, but it was...
I'm just remembering Aaron Archer's panel, because I bumped into him in the dealer room when I did the thing you're not supposed to. When there was like 10 minutes left, I walked into the dealer room just in case.
Yeah.
But then I walked right into Aaron Archer as he was packing his table up and chatted with him a bit, and he said like he had the panel after dealer room closed. So I think that is when they started to just put the staff on the panel room.
Yeah.
Because all in preparation of the G1 actor panel that Frank Welker is on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Demonstrably.
But I definitely feel like, you know, that door person should be more a, like, make sure people aren't stopping in the door. Like, hey, you know, keep flow going, not like, stop you, this panel's ending, you can't come in right now type of.
I'm curious if they emptied the panel room after.
They didn't.
Ah.
Yeah. Yes, now your confusion is my confusion.
Yeah. Because the one before Aaron's was Kian's Toymaker panel.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that one naturally dragged a crowd outside because they were setting up Marty and everyone at the table. Yeah, strange. I wasn't there for all of that.
Yeah.
I was
So, again, it's a thing that I don't know if it's a... If we were in there to talk to the man in charge about confusion things.
If I could please talk to the manager? Yeah. Well, TJ, what about you? Did you hit any panels up?
Unfortunately, no. Because my con experience, especially at a TFCon, is... It doesn't really give me the time to do that. Honestly, I get distracted. Like, I am the type... I am the type who will wander the dealer room and just go, ooh, pretty, on every lap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'll always see something different. But I get stopped so much that I just, like... I just stop and talk to people, you know, and if I'm going through the lobby and someone's just, people are out playing with toys, I'm like, ooh, I want to see.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess that's why, like, I was interested in the social version of TFCon.
Yeah.
Because, like, Orlando had some of that, you know, we were up late at night just hanging out, but, like, just people all over playing
like
with
toys.
Like,
random encounter social.
Yeah. So, like, that's kind of what I wanted to experience out of the con, so... Like,
oh, for real?
Yeah.
Horrific things done in the lobby to toys, like, 2 feet away from Aaron Archer kind of things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was fun.
That was fun. Sorry.
That was legit. I saw the photos.
Yeah.
I get that. Like, I was talking to a couple people today about this concept that was running through my head that I go through at shows sometimes, which is, like, what I call... FOMO of the present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Specifically, well, if I'm here... That means I'm not where something's happening over there. So how can I be in both places at once? Like that really irrational mindset.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I want to check the dealer room, but also I want to be hanging out with my friends who are right here, and also I want to be over there where I see a guy I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do I do all that?
And that's part of that. Like, I feel like I've gotten a little bit more used to going to Gen Cons and seeing just like, hey, they literally publish a phone book every year of what's going on over the 4.5-5 days of what's going on, and it very much is a... You got to realize that, hey, you're not going to get to see all of the convention, you know?
Yeah.
Well, not like our TFCons of old where, you know, there were breaks in between panels because they weren't filling at all. Okay, for the next 2 hours, we're going to be showing episodes G1. I don't know.
I'm happy that there's no panel breaks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so overjoyed at how many fan-submitted panels there are now.
Yeah.
What I mean isn't even anything on the schedule. It's literally like I'm in the lobby and I'm talking to someone that I want to talk to. And I look over and I see someone else I really want to talk to, and I'm like, "How can I be both?" Like, it's there's no rationality to it, but it's a form of FOMO I've realized more and more.
Yeah.
That I try to ignore. There's no not solve it. Like, I'm just like, that's irrational.
Yeah.
I just have to roll with the present, because I hit up a couple of panels. Primarily, I wanted to see Kian's deleted scenes panel. And that is very specifically because I love what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, I was explaining it to people in the TCG room before I went. I was like, Kian, I got his age wrong at the time, but Kian...
He's like 7 years old.
When he was 7 years old. No, it was when he was 16, he said at the panel today. He was a high school kid who said, you know, I'm going to just make more animated myself. except he actually did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I find his story so exciting, is because he's like, why'd they stop the cartoon? I like, I'll make more, and then carried through with it in his life path. And it's like, that's beautiful. So that panel was quite fun. It was very packed. I left the TCG room saying, I was like, I'll just walk over to the panel room and just go in with the crowd. And as I left the TCG hallway into the tower hallway, ran into the side of a giant line that ran all the way down to the convention center.
Yeah.
So I went like, hey everyone, is this a line for a panel? Like, yeah, Transformers Animated Deleted Scenes. So I was like, oh, they made more Transformers Animated? And then just left to the end of the line. I went to the end of the line. When I got there, I don't think I'll ever hear this. When I got near the end of the line, I was there with two other folks from the TCG room, and someone was like, oh, Evangelist, Perspective End says hello. So I said, okay, I say hello back. Where is he? Because this is 1.5 years in a row where we've been in the same convention, and he said hello, but I don't know where he is. Last year, apparently, he said hello, and I was in the midst of something, and I bummed him out by accident because I was, like, heading to run a panel. And he was worried that he had annoyed me. And I told him, and I'll say it again, you didn't annoy me. It's all good. It's all good. But I'm bummed out I didn't see you here. So hopefully next year. That panel was very fun. The deleted scenes were so dang cool. Everyone there was doing great work. And then I wanted to see on Friday Jim Sorensen's GoBots panel. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I went for dinner at 5:30, I think. No, 6. Went for dinner at 6. Right out of our first panel. And then dinner service, the guy serving us basically said, like, yeah, everything ran real slow, I'm so sorry, guys. But we weren't able to finish till, like, 7:30. Mm. So I, you know, whatever. I solved it.
Yeah.
Because Jim took me out for pizza, so I said, hey, Jim, do you want me to grab your panel footage and you send me your slides and I'll edit a copy of your panel? So now I'm going to see it my way. But yeah, other than that, I didn't get to see any other panels that I wasn't fully involved in other than bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But I did... check out the dealer room, and I got to hang out with a whole bunch of folks in the dealer room, kind of to hit the third vector of all this. I want to talk a little bit about stuff we found, stuff we saw that was kind of cool. I saw, finally, that guy who had the Lucky Draw stuff
on the top shelf. Yeah.
Oh my god! That was amazing. I haven't seen Lucky Draw in a dealer room like that in a while. And then there was also Art Fire, obviously, with...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stacks of, that's like the second or third time now I've seen this table. Still amazing. Just
ridiculous amount of stuff I'm never going to be able to afford.
And the way it's all just piled up.
Yeah.
Like the loose ones. Like, oh, here's my row of Grandi. Here's my row of Star Sabers.
Yeah, like someone just have like loose Beast Wars figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except they're all, his are all priced like what they are. So it's like, here's my big stack of toys. 600, 600, 300, 300.
Here's my Victory Leos. Four of them. Which one? How good of a Victory Leo do you want?
Yeah, do you care about the springs? Do you care about the weapon, etc.?
My Spectrum of Diatlas.
I actually, my main dealer room spends were, I walked up to TF Sources booth because they had a Blockies standing there out of the box that I wanted on top of all their boxed ones.
Yeah.
Is the non-chase mm-hmm. IDW Prime.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, you selling that? Can I buy that? And the guy's like, yeah, sure, it's $15. I'll just open a new one. I was like, all right, hooray.
Yeah.
I solved my problem.
I like their system they had where they had just, if someone got a Blockies that they didn't want, they would, like, yeah, you can just switch it out for that one if you want, or they'll just
I didn't know that.
Or if you just buy whatever the loose one is, they'll just pop another one open.
I didn't know they were doing switchies. That's cool.
Yeah.
Because I did have a comment on some of the other tables selling Blockies, which is I'd look and they'd have like a half, two-third full, you know, box mm-hmm. where like three or four had been pulled out. And they were still selling it, and it was kind of not moving all the time. And I was like, once you're a third of the way in the box, just rip them open and actually turn the price up $5, and you'll still sell them.
Yeah,
like you'll.
Yeah, well, because that was the thing that, like, in retrospect, I saw enough Blockies. I think the cheapest I want to say, early Saturday, I saw somebody had cases for like $75.
Yeah, I saw 80 most of the time.
The box, it was 80 later, but I know that there was somebody that was. A little bit less, and I was sitting there like after the fact thinking, okay, well, there's 9.75, it's like what, $7-$8 each. How hard would it be to find three people? You know, somebody wants Skywarp, somebody wants B, somebody wants Jazz, and you go and you crack that open in the lobby.
This, is this perhaps something that, say, was, that was floating?
It was being floated.
It was being floated. Alfie already has all the Jazz is out of it, but yeah. But the idea was then like. You know, you buy that for 80, you go to the lobby, you crack it open, you pull the three out that you want, and then you have the other sitting there, and you'd be like, hey,
I'll take the blocking experience right here. Who wants an Optimus Prime? Optimus Prime, $10, $11, $12. All right, $12. Here you go.
That's how I was,
for me.
That's how I was going to get IDW Optimus, because there's ways on AliExpress to get that box for like 75 Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, yeah, I'm just going to take one figure out, see if it's the one I want, sell the others. But then I was like, well, if it's right there for 15, like that's a bit more than I want to pay, but it's right there, and I've solved the problem. There were a lot of blockies in the room. I was surprised how there were not that many, like, open loose. I was looking for singles, basically. I did, however, swing my little deal. I found, somehow, Tony Prito's corner. He didn't have a table. He had a corner of the Las Vegas Transformers group table.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one with the white risers. He had the second Studio Series 86 Junkie on, the gray one.
Yeah, Junkie.
Like, in a banged-up but unopened box for $25. So I was like, well, that seems like a good deal, but I want more of a deal. And this was Saturday morning, so I was like, you know, pulling some Icarus nonsense.
Right.
But I saw he had a Missing Link Cliff Jumper, so I was like, hey, how much is that? He's like, oh, it's $40. So I was like, do me a deal on these two? So he gave me $5 off, as the two of them for $60, but I was like, I still got a deal on friggin' Saturday morning, so
yeah.
I feel like I won. I liked them, by the way. I cracked them open in the TCG room.
Okay.
Junk Heap feels better than I remember Rekgar feeling. I need to get the third one now to you know, wet my app. I don't know what he's called, the yellow one. Scrunge?
Scrapyard?
That sounds close. Scrapyard or Scrap Heap?
Scumknuckle?
Something. Trash Fire?
Yeah. And then Missing Link Cliff Jumper. I didn't transform him. I just wanted to mess with the robot mode a bunch. Yeah, it's okay. I don't think it's bad.
Yeah.
I don't think it lights me on fire or anything.
Yeah.
I think the price makes way more sense for him.
Yeah.
That mold than Prime.
And Cliff Jumper comes with one entire gun that the Bumblebee doesn't, because the Bumblebee has the VW little sticker.
Yeah. I feel like the Bumblebee comes up a little bit thin for that price.
Yeah.
The bazooka definitely helps.
And I put the bazooka in his hand, gun in other hand, got him to like pose, kind of tilt his head looking down a bit, leaning to the side. And I was like, I get it. This is actually kind of neat. I got the one, it was in the black box, so I thought it was just going to be like a tray in the black box. But when you open the black box, and there's the whole other little box.
Well,
like,
that's what I had Gilbazan sign, was just the
so, yeah, answer. So there's a bunch of that stuff. So, like, the Super Ginrai that I got at home was the Takara T-Spark box inside of the big black sleeve.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's what Hasbro, when they import it, they put it into a box that has the information on it in English for whatever reason.
Yeah,
because
sense.
Legally it has to be legible in the U.S. Same as in like foreign food in the grocery store gets the
sticker. Yeah.
But so yeah, that was my major dealer room action. I got, of course, I inherited a pile of Ross proxies that we had been building for the last 100 years from
it's
these.
About a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only bummer's there. Well, not a bummer, but it's like, it turns out I already had Earthspark Megatron. Doesn't matter.
I
got two. Yes. The other one, the Battle Trap, I got gifted a Battle Trap less than a week before TFCon, sight unseen. And I was like, oh no. So it's fine. I like having two Battle Traps. I actually like that toy. I'm going to try to custom it. But yeah, there was a bunch of stuff in there. There was also the comic book punchers.
Yeah, they're aggressively okay.
Yeah, very meek,
yeah.
I guess. Very humble toys.
So you realize they're $20.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I guess the comic books are $5 each.
Sure.
Also Sideswipe Prime had proxied me from Walmart. The triple pack Thundertron and Ferrak were on super dead rollback for like an hour or something one day.
Yeah, the Wheeljack too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, this was a different sale.
Oh.
The Wheeljack was from that Walmart sale that most people missed. The Thundertron and Ferrak one.
When Galvatron had that weird price error.
Yeah, 50% off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the one where it got reported when a bunch of them were already sold out. The Star Raiders one was something else a couple months ago.
Yeah, when they were starting to purge those and successfully gotten there.
Yeah.
So I actually have a haul. I have to film all that packaging late tonight when I'm feeling sleepy and then shred everything and just compress them all into one giant brick.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy. But I feel pretty good about that side of my haul. I also spent a bunch of money in Artist Alley. Because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't get to Artist Alley
at
all yesterday.
Yeah.
So I bought this pouch at Artist Alley to put my Artist Alley things in. So I'll get to that a bit later. Focusing on the dealer room, TJ, since this was your first LA TFCon, how did you find the LA dealer room?
It's kind of insane. Like, the Orlando one was good, don't get me wrong. but this was at least 50%, probably closer to 100% bigger. Like, just wall to wall. And, like, not even with just the Transformer stuff. Just people were just throwing anything adjacent. Okay, here's Super Sentai stuff. Here's, like, I found just a bunch of loose baggies of Mugenbine.
Yeah, the Mugenbine wall. That was such
you were
a...
locked into that wall for, like, 15
because
minutes.
Because he had Mugenbine, he had Drive Head, and he had Machine Robo Rescue. I was like, where is the goddamn Korean robots? They have to be here somewhere.
So what?
I found Autobot somewhere, but it was a third of a combiner with a panel missing. And I was like, well, this ain't nothing. But no, that Machine Robo Mugenbine, I was doing the devil work. I was pulling people towards it going, hey, you're a Machine Robo Mugenbine? You could, like, buy all of it right now. $30 a pop.
I was looking through it, and the only one that would actually tempt me, I could not find.
Ah! Yeah, I looked through it, and then I remembered a lot of them on site, and I was like, I got over this already.
Right, that's what hit me, is like, oh, I remember these. These were so much fun. I've been through this cycle before. I'm going to sell these off next year if I buy them right now.
Same thing with the Drive Heads. I actually went on Blue Sky today saying, does anyone have any opinions on Drive Head? It's a Tomica line. Mm. And a bunch of people said, like, if you can get them cheap, they're pretty neat. But then one person, I didn't even see it till the dealer room was closed, said, the danger with those is you'll want to buy all the upgrade vehicles that replace the limbs. And when I saw that, I was like, maybe it's good that I didn't buy one on a whim.
Yeah.
Because that could have been something. I want my funny robot money to go into Korean robots right now.
Yeah, the Korean lines look really, really solid.
Yeah, and then I didn't spot any. I never really spot them there anyway, but I thought maybe with the Toy Fair hype, maybe someone would have, like, snagged a few somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you got some dang cool, I mean, maybe not purchases in every way of the word, but you got some cool acquisitions.
I did, yeah. Yeah, the interesting one of the weekend was, like, I was standing in, like, I walk into the dealer room, like, 9 a.m. on Saturday, and I walk straight into the first crowd, which turned out to be the David K line. I want a signature. Two of my friends wanted signatures. I guess I'm just in the David K line now. And just standing in that line, someone came up to me and said, okay, TJ, do you accept gifts? And like, that really depends on the gift. Is TSA going to stop me in line if I bring this home? And he gets into his bag, and he apparently just carrying it around just in case he ran into me. And it was a Commander of Stars, the third party Cybertron Optimus Prime,
because
he had gotten the second run that had done a lot of the fixes. But the one he had given me, he had fixed a lot of the things himself.
That's the first thing I asked you when you said that's what he gave you. It's
like that's been the story. Like every time I tell that story this weekend, someone asks me first or second, and I tell them first. They go, no. Like as soon as he hands it to me, he just runs down this litany of repairs that he has done to this toy, so everything on it functions now.
The legit cojones on that company to actually do a fix run on that toy.
Yeah,
because that thing got panned to the floor.
Who made that?
What are they called again? Just said it, I think.
No, I didn't.
Oh no, you said the thing's name.
Yeah,
it's the only thing they've released, I think. Transform Rollout.
Yeah, I can't remember the company.
Yeah. All I remember is Toy Guy got one, and, like, the fingers kept just, like, crumbling off the hand over and over again.
Yeah. I had a friend who picked that up at TFCon Orlando, and he's bragging about it to me in the lobby, and, like, dude, I've heard so many bad things about that. About 2 weeks later, I get a DM from him on Discord going, like, I should have listened to you.
It is by Transform and Rollout. And
I knew it!
And the first result for searching Commander in Stars, other than the TF source link, is a Reddit post of Transform and Rollout Commander of the Stars. It sucks. This is their second toy release in 10 years.
Oh, second. Sorry, second. Yeah.
I mean, fortunately, being a gift, I'm going to treat it very, very gently to begin with. Like, I'm going to get it out of the box, put it in super mode, and sit it somewhere on a nice shelf, go, that's really pretty.
Like, that's the curse of the other person doing the repairs. It's like, that's great, but because you didn't do the repairs, it's like, I don't actually know the context of any of this.
Yeah, or if they're good or bad, or...
I mean, I just...
I took out this...
The first release.
It was the Jazz!
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
That Jazz.
Yeah, I remember. Okay.
Agent Meister, getting really close to the sun there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a really cool thing to hear.
Yeah.
But you also, I remember, one other thing you got that I remember is you got a hold of something to go with your G1 guy.
Yeah. So like, funny thing, like, last time we were in the same convention together, you know, and I told you I'm after a Star Saber. And, yeah. Like, and managed to snag one for, I think, like, 140 complete.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, like, the... I remember just sitting in the room doing the podcast going like that's the only thing I got to mention out of any of the hall that I had that entire weekend. So now, appropriately enough, with us present again, I complete the pair. I got a Victory Leo to go along with him.
You're so welcome.
Because I almost got one that year before I made up my mind. I think it was Gog Dog who bought it from the dealer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, this is like 15 years overdue, but yeah, I've got the pair now.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're saying it's just like, what, missing like a missile or something?
It's missing, two? Yeah, it's missing two missiles, but it can only display one, so it only really needs one.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the cannon's there, the two shoulder guns are there, the plastic is white, stickers are good. It's gonna look super pretty. So, I'm fine with that. That was like the big get of the whole weekend.
Well, Aaron, what about you? Did you, because I mean, you bought some stuff, but that's all off-site. You bought you're a Jedi with a protocol droid now, and I'm getting things wrong on purpose.
Yes. No, the majority of my spending this week was at Disney, but I did have to dive into my luggage for the couple things I did pick up. Not nearly as impressive. The first one that you put me onto was the Craftsman Toys, I think it's, what is it?
Steel Drill
Hit Hero?
It's just Steel Drill.
Steel Drill. Steel Drill Hero there. Well, so they need to get their typing.
Well, I mean,
right.
Okay, I went on this already, but the car, when they were advertising this set, the car's name was Carl in all of the advertisements. What a good name. Mm-hmm. Once this one comes out, every new photo, they've changed his name to Caro.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no! It's Carl!
But, the nose cone from Computron. Good. I've transformed it back and forth. Turned him into a foot, turned the foot sideways slightly, and it made a ungodly squeak that made bees want to vomit and defecate simultaneously. It wanted to initiate some norovirus on him.
Yeah,
it's the goop squeak.
And then the other thing that I picked up is a... I'm not sure if this is a knockoff or... It is marketed... It shows Machine Robot, but it is different from Machine Robo packaging. Released as GoBots Road Ranger. That was Wee Babby Aaron's first, this is a red and blue truck, this must be Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Before Power Master Optimus Prime became an Optimus Prime, and I realized that might not have been a Transformer, but he still lived in the same toy box.
This might be... So, I need to check my guidebooks.
Okay.
This might be real, but I can't remember. There are a couple
I've pulled it out. I've transformed it. And it feels good. It doesn't feel gross and sloppy.
Oh, a lot of GoBot knockoffs are still quite fine.
Yeah.
But there are legitimate runs of Machine Robo that are on the most knockoff-ass packaging.
Yeah. I was going to say...
It was
I had
that same booth that had them, too.
Yeah.
The one we saw earlier. Like 100
Yeah.
Over?
Yeah, the packaging reminds me of one of, like, a G1 Browning I had. That I in the same vein of, like, I don't know if this is, like, some weird foreign release or...
So there are eBay listings that show, like, two or three things...
And one of them is
in
this.
In that same chunk... Yeah. One of them is that.
This might, because this says, this is a Taiwan release, this is Smith Western. I would say if you really care, you can Google Smith Western Taiwan Machine Robot.
I am perfectly happy with it at $20.
Oh, $20, it's still either way.
Yeah.
That looks minty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
There was a lot of boxed Japanese Machine Robo, by the way, at the show.
Yeah,
two
I
different
saw
booths.
That.
I mean, they were priced fairly, but I wish that I had a lot of money, because I would have bought all of them. They were so gorgeous. The ones in the middle of the room, of the dealer room, were like, I asked the guy. He was like, some of those are not opened. And I'm like, unopened.
Yeah.
Freaking Bandai Machine Robo.
Yeah.
Slimy.
So this was definitely a... I got it out, I transformed it, and I had a whole bunch of, like, kinesthetic memories firing off, and little Aaron after school playing with his toys. And then, was it you also?
Huh? What?
That... Handled one of the. There was somebody else
was
that, that handled this and had the same kind of
visceral
reaction of going back to
the trailer
hinge,
specifically the metal part there.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought was an Optimus Prime toy for the longest time that I couldn't identify.
Right.
And it's because it wasn't an Optimus Prime.
But then beyond that, I did a little bit of pickups at the Artist Alley. Trying to fight through that was... I should have brought some sort of machete along with to get through the lines of people that were clogging things.
Thanks to Mirai Baby, we did discover what happened.
Yeah.
It makes total sense. I asked some of the other artists, too. Like, basically, in the back of the room was a plush... number one, it was plushies. Mm-hmm. That's all. And I know from the experiences of, you know, friend of the podcast, Shattered Needle, that, like, you sell plushies at TFCon, you get bulldozed by the crowds.
Yeah.
But this is also apparently a famous Etsy seller
with a
separate fan base alone.
Yeah, a major following apparently.
Yeah,
and so that is what happened.
And again, it's a case of rough placement and layout of the convention center, because they had them at the end of that Artist Alley, so their line was backing up across the area that they were trying to have everybody go in one door and out another door for the convention center area. And it had like three crossing streams, and again, people that I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily say trained, but were trying to manage best what they could with the feces filled dumpster fire that they were given. And
I think they were trying to do, I mean, I know I didn't see clickers, but I think they were trying to do clicker duty.
Yeah, they were trying to keep people under certain numbers inside, because that was talking with a couple of people that were on staff, it's like, yeah, we had to close general admission purchases a couple of times on Saturday because we had reached the peak that the space could take, and then we'd open it back up and sell 100 tickets online in like 15 minutes, and we have to pause it again. Like, you know, so it's, again, it's very popular. I feel like we've maybe reached the limit of what this specific location can do in this configuration.
Yeah, it's a shame, because I know there is a gray zone between being here and moving to, I don't know, but I educatedly guess there's a gray zone between being here and moving to Pasadena Convention Center.
Yeah.
Because Pasadena is basically the next one. It is also notably more expensive.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I would say this is a small-sized convention center. Mm-hmm. And there aren't really a bunch of medium-sized convention centers, because as soon as you're going to something like a medium-sized convention center, screw it, you might as well go to a large-sized convention center.
Yeah.
And that's how we end up with, like, the being downstairs from the Supernatural convention or something like that.
That was such a funnier TJ. I don't know how much you might have heard the stories. The Chicago TFCon, where we shared the convention center and hotel with a Supernatural convention.
Oh, fun.
And wasn't there also like a very small medical convention or something? Like,
yes, there was a small medical device, professionals.
Medical devices or medical professionals.
My God.
Yeah. It was just mishmash.
Mm-hmm.
And so the elevator rides would sometimes just be really... And also, I didn't know there was a thing called Super Hulock at the time. So there were all these like Supernatural fans who carried the Doctor Who fandom vibes, who carried the Sherlock vibes. This was the one show where we were doing, a podcast panel. I mentioned Once Upon a Time, because that was a junk food show I was watching at the time. And someone in our crowd popped so hard, and I'd never seen that before for, like, one of my junk food shows. I'm curious to see what happens next year. I'm sure it's been announced already. Like, if there's going to be TFCon LA again next year, I expect there will be, because it's so popular.
Yeah.
But I wonder if maybe next year is when at least the courting process begins of, like, how feasible is it to move to a larger facility? I did want to say, because we're kind of hitting our time, but I want to say, Bees, did you get any cool stuff in the dealer room? I don't want to leave you stuck over here.
You wouldn't believe what I got. It's just a ton of bees.
You bought a ton of bees? Really?
There's a laser beak in there.
There's a laser beak.
He's a pink bee.
Okay.
He's a Pepto-Bismol bee.
What about those white
things? And then I did get two auto troopers from the BotCon 2011?
How much were those two auto troopers?
50 each.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
They're really nice. I like them a lot.
Yeah, there's
maybe if I get maybe more of them, and it'd be great.
You could have an army of them if you get, like, say, like six.
Why would anybody... That's a dumb naming scheme there.
Listen,
I'm not going to get an army of anything.
It's been a long show.
Can you cut this bit back? We don't need this talk.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right, well, we're going to close this one up, I think. just say I felt like I had a pretty darn good time. Yeah. This is a show that I publicly had a lot of trepidation about for reasons unrelated to the show.
Yeah.
And none of that really panned out.
Just nothing's going on.
Yeah, nothing's going on.
Everything's fine.
Everyone was very kind. Nobody was weird. That's the other thing. I'm not aware of any incidents at the show. As in, like, you know, someone throwing LLM art around the artist alley, as in someone, like, you know, causing a scene at a panel.
Yeah.
Seems like it was a fairly benign, you know, just nice and chill show, all things considered. So, hopefully, we get another chance to do this sometime.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun. Yeah, hope you all take it easy out there. If you were at TFCon LA 2025, drop in the thread with some of your experiences. If you weren't, like, I don't know, shower us with thine jealousy. And we'll talk to you all later. Stay safe out there.
Bye!
We really need the music on here.
I'll just edit it in.
Oh, okay.
No, he won't.
Podcast. You're listening to the podcast. You're